I thought there was going to be a whole bunch of people testifying, take up part of the night. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. Yes. I thought about that tonight, and I thought, what happened to that? There's more than two or three here. I was satisfied with just what I had earlier, worshiping God and praising God and enjoying his presence. How many like being here on a Sunday night? Yeah, it's different, isn't it? I don't know, something about it. Church is good in the morning, but there's something about Sunday night. Yeah, it's good to see Jim and Martha, too. And knowing Jim and Martha probably, what, going on 100 years now? Yeah? not quite, eh? But I remember the first time I met Martha was at a corn roast. And I see this young lady looking at me, and I thought, oh, there's somebody that needs Jesus. I'm going to tell her about Jesus. Surprise! I found out she wanted to tell me about Jesus, which was kind of good. Well, it wasn't kind of good. It was good. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to share something tonight that God has put on my heart. And I can honestly say that there's been many times where God, and I'm sure people can attest to this, that, you know, when you're after God for things, that in my life anyways, he tends to take subjects and bombards me with them. And I hear them, you know, it starts off and I can hear that little voice a lot of times telling me, this is for me, God is telling me. But you know, he has to make it loud and clear with me, because I'm dumb as a stump, as my wife tells me. No, she doesn't. And I'll hear it like through preachers. I'll come in here on a Sunday morning and Terry will share it, or I'll hear it on the radio or on the TV, or people speaking somewhere, or just generally the Spirit of God speaking to my heart. And the reason I'm saying that is because I've had, in the last while, I don't know the length of time, but I've had three things that God impressed on my heart like that. And I kid you not, they were just, I was, and that's a good word, is bombarded with them. And the first one was the Word of God, the Bible, being God's Word. And do you know, I was going, like I said, going through things and reading things and hearing people and hearing all sorts about it. Excuse me. And I remember there was a program on TV not too long ago about Billy Graham and how I was impressed with that thing. I didn't know a lot about Billy Graham. I see in his life that he had fruits in his life. And but you know, he gave a testimony of one time he doubted the Word of God, doubted the Bible. And it said that he went out into the woods one night and he set it on a stump and he just told God, he says, I'm doubting you. I'm doubting your word, if this is really your word. And God just said it right there in his heart. That's my word. And we are such a fortunate people to have that word. I just shared with somebody not long ago on Facebook. I told people I'm a new Facebook guy, so I can't help myself. And, you know, they were saying how they loved the Word of God, how it's their, not their everything, but it is their everything. And I was in that place where I put on there, you know, it's sad that there's parts of the world that where people can't get a Bible or they have to share a Bible. And yet we have them everywhere. Look around you. I bet you don't have to look far. You find a Bible in here. But at home, we got them all over the place. And we got all these accesses to things like this. Now, Sonny's here tonight, and I couldn't help but thinking, Sonny will be pleased because this is a King James notebook. New. Actually, I like it. It has both on it. New King James on one side and King James on the other side. But it's I find myself using this because it's just, you'll have to forgive me, but I know for the old folks don't like it so much sometimes, but I read my Bible, but I have this when I go down to the Whitby Shores to preach down there. It makes things very nice with having the two different versions up there. But anyways, the other thing that was God bombarded me with is seeking him with all our heart. And I kid you not, it just kept coming and coming and coming. That it's so important that we seek God with all our heart. We have a God who loves us, who wants us to spend time with him. And we need to make that effort. We need, if we're a Christian, we need to seek God. That's all there is to it. Now, these are big subjects. And what I was going to share on tonight was partially on the third thing that God's been bombarding me with. And I want to say that I just touch the tip of the iceberg. There's so much that we can share about these things. But I find myself tonight, looking around preaching to the choir. But that's all right, because we need to be reminded sometimes, don't we? How we can get our eyes off in different things. But when we stick close to God and seek him with all our heart, I believe with all my heart, he'll keep us in that place. He really will. And the third thing was fruits of the Spirit. And Melinda has even noticed it. How this started a little while ago, probably about a month ago. I don't know exactly how it started, but I started with one of the things was I was doing a devotional. And I don't know if it was a 10-day devotion or what, but the Lord had already spoke that thing in my heart. So it caught my eye on this thing. So I actually have it on my phone. And after each time, the person kept the thing centered on the Word of God, which I like. And at the end of every devotional for the day, the scripture just came up. How many know the scripture where the fruit of the Spirit is? That's right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I'll read it out of the King James. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against there is no law. They ended each time with that. And it did something for me just to read that. Read it over and over and over. And God began to speak a word in my heart about it. And it's thrilling, isn't it, folks? When God starts speaking to your heart. When he starts doing these things for us. It is for me, anyways. You know, I think that one of the thrilling things about it, I shouldn't say the most thrilling thing, but one of the biggest things about it, it sounds a little selfish, but God's telling me he sees me. He sees me. And he loves me. And he wants good things for me. And the same goes for everyone. Did you know that? It doesn't matter who you are. Where you're at in life, or, you know, I do a lot of services. Like I said, I've been going down to the Ontario Shores, the mental health hospital, for the last 6 or 7 years. And I've done a lot of preaching down there. And, you know, God has showed me something lately, how much he is, or how much I recognize the fruits of my life through doing that very thing. And I started doing that, and it was different. And I know you can only imagine. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. You know, sometimes you think you might just be wasting your time, but it's nothing but that. To go down there and to share the love of God and to see things happen, but to see the changes take place in myself, it's wonderful. Because when the troubles and trials of life come along and start beating you down, it's hard to see that side of it. And I thank God he started showing me that. You know, it's to love people, you know. It's hard to love some people, isn't it? Come on. Admit it, right? But I tell you, he can put love in your heart for people. And I found that to be true. But he can do so much more than that. I want to share first a little bit about who brings those fruits, the Holy Spirit. And like I said, this is a big subject, and I know not to, but it's just some things that the Lord put on my heart to give, you know, and I want to share that. And I want to use the Word of God as much as I can, because I believe all those three things that God had given me lately, the Word of God, seeking Him, fruit of the Spirit, are connected. And I'll explain it a little more. But I'm sure I don't have to get too detailed without you realizing that yourself, how they're connected. But first of all, I want to use the Word of God, because I believe that's what will speak to you. More, so much more than what I can speak to you. God uses us in these things, I believe with all my heart, but it's the Word of God that penetrates us. And so every once in a while I'm going to pop out a scripture, and you can do what you want with it. But I hope you take it in. And the first one is, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Doing this, putting this together, when I first read that, I don't know what it was, but it was the Spirit of God, I know what it was, but I had a little jump inside me, because that same God, that same Spirit that hovered over the waters, that same Spirit that created the heavens and the earth, the same Spirit that created you and me, lives inside of me. Have you accepted Christ in your life? You know, that's the only time I'll ask for a show of hands. Have you accepted Christ in your life? The Spirit of God comes and lives within us. And that's more than, if that's all I had to say tonight, that'd be good. I believe. I want to read a few scriptures here. And I hope we have enough time. Remember the days, I don't know if you remember the days or not, we used to go long hours. And I remember reading the days where they used to go all night. You want to do that? No, you don't want to listen to me. But we can if you want. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. That's Psalms 104:30. Thou sendest forth thy spirit that they created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. God, this Holy Spirit, has created a new thing in us. And we need to realize that in a big way. We need to tell people that there's a God, that wants to renew us, to make us new. Amen? He really does. So he wants to make a new person out of us. And you know what? He does that. He really does. Now I've got... And I lost it. But that's all right. I want to read you a 3:16. That's a good number in the Bible verse, isn't it? 3:16. I actually found myself finding three of them doing this. 3:16s. Chapter 3, verse 16 of 2 Timothy says, "And all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." The Holy Spirit, this is how it's, and the fruits of the Spirit, this is how it's connected to the Word of God. He has inspired this Word. And that was one of the big things that grabbed a hold of me when he started bombarding me with his word is his word. The Bible is his word. Also, I don't know how I did it, but I messed up my my stuff here. Now here's something important that we have to, that I have to find myself, I have to bring out. And it's another 3:16. And that's Matthew 3:16. And it says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven and earth was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him." That's the same Spirit that's come into our lives. And Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to guide him, to keep him in that place. And I thank God that I got the same Spirit because I need it so much more. I need his guidance. I need him to speak to my heart. I'm a failure. I've got that human nature in me. But through Christ, I'm more than a conqueror. And it's that Holy Spirit that comes in that does that thing for me. And for all of you, too. I got to read this because, like I said, these are scriptures that the Lord has given me doing this. And that, like I said, to speak to your heart. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And this is Isaiah 11:2, by the way. I didn't wait for anybody to get the scriptures here because I had enough scriptures that I thought I'd just fly along when I could. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's the same spirit that comes and lives within us. Can you imagine? The Lord shall rest upon him the spirit of wisdom and of understanding and the spirit of counsel and might and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's the things we need for this walk. We need the Holy Ghost, people. We need to lean on the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled with him. We need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's so important in this walk. Because this is tremendous. This is a tremendous thing. And to not want it, or to just live our Christian walk in, you know, la-di-da land, is such a shame when we have access to this, the Holy Ghost coming and living in us. I want to go to John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Again, a wonderful scripture pertaining to that. Joel 2:28. And afterward, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. It was promised to us. This was promised to us, this Holy Spirit. And we need to receive it. It's and not to focus on all these things. Like I said, it's such a big, wide subject, but I can put it out there. And especially if you've never experienced it before, if you've never experienced the infilling of the Holy Ghost or listened to his voice speak to you, it's there. It's available for you. It's got nothing to do with hocus pocus and all that kind of stuff. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quicketh the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Life. That's what we get from God, life. Think about it, new life. How many like being alive? That's right. It's life. God gives us life. And that's a wonderful thing. And you know, this life in Christ, this life with the Holy Ghost guiding us brings fruits in our lives. Yes. And that's all there is to it. We keep our eyes on Jesus, it'll happen. And these fruits, are the what the Holy Spirit is. It's not just things and everything. It's the Holy Ghost. That's who he is. He comes in us, and we get him. And the fruits just will come. And it's so important. I know my life has been forever changed. You know, after I accept the Lord in my life, at first you realize the change. But after a while you realize you're forever changed. And it only gets better, for lack of better words. Better and better if we allow it, right? You know, we need these fruits in our lives, the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm going to read them again in a minute to remind us, not only for ourselves, and that's what we need first. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and we need to experience it. And then it continues out. And it's for others. It's for those around us. And I want to read Galatians 5 again. I want to read starting at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not... Do you liketh this, that I share this from the King James Bible, son? Sorry, brother. Couldn't help myself. I'll try this again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, which means discord, and wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I will tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know what? If you're doing all those things there, you're in trouble. I'll tell you that right now. You're in trouble. But it's so wonderful to know that God is working on an imperfect people. Amen? He's not just going to go boom. He's going to bring you into that place where he wants you to be. He's going to transform you into that person that he wants you to be if you let him. And that's through the Holy Ghost. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's interesting how that the King James and the New King James basically meaning the same thing. It's just they switch it around. I think a lot of the, if you look up in a lot of the commentaries and you hear people speaking on this, you'll hear more of, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. You know what? The first one there is love. And the Bible tells us God is love. And you know what? That's what we need. We need God's love. Not the kind of love that we've so, misused these days. How we've brought ourselves into the place of interpreting love as being, something with a sex with a partner, or I just love that dress that she's wearing. You know, this sort of thing. But you know what kind of love it is? It's the one that comes from another 3:16. And we all know what that is, right? John 3:16. And why don't we say it together? Come on. I'm sure everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. This is the kind of love we need. And you know what it is? It's God's love. It is. It's God's love. It's not a love that we make up or our own type of love. That's why these fruits come out when we seek God, when we have the Holy Spirit in us. The fruit of love will come out, God's love. And like I said, it'll be poured out to others. It's an important thing. It's a very important thing. The next one is joy. Our dear Wendy shared this last Sunday night. And like I said, there's so much more. You could take any one of these and preach on them for hours. And Wendy brought some good points out about it, but not to get in at all, or not to get in. They probably lined up with what I wanted to share. But because we're limited for time, I just want to put it in a nutshell. We need God's joy.
Amen.
The kind of joy that God has. The kind of joy that says in the Word that was set before him at the cross. That's how he got through it. Because he knew the joy that was going to come in salvation. How people that were going to come to him, how he was going to change mankind. That's the kind of joy we need. And when we have that, that will overflow. And that fruit is what the Holy Spirit is going to give us. All these fruits, that's what the Holy Spirit's going to do for us. That's a wonderful thing to know. Peace. And we're talking about God's peace again. Peace, the word says, that passes all understanding. Is that the kind of peace you want in your life? Or do you just want that kind of peace where, you know, how many times you heard it when the kids are going crazy and just give me some peace and quiet. That's not the peace I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's peace. God's peace that'll get us through troubles and trials. That we can have. That we can have this peace. We can have this fruit in our lives. And you know what? I believe there's not a person here that's been on the road too long that hasn't recognized that in their life. Like I said, I know I recognized it in my life. You know, especially, like I said, going down, I've recognized it with my family, involved with my family, my friends, my business. And like I said, especially going down and preaching at the Ontario Shores. God seems to come with a peace that you can give to people. And this is a fruit that God wants to give us. Think about that. This is something that God wants to do in our lives, is give us a peace that passes all understanding. Now, I've got about 12 more pages, so bear with me. Patience. Do you know that patience, and if you look up in the Greek for patience in this passage, it means slow to anger. And that's interesting, isn't it? Do you know what? I want God's peace. I want our patience, sorry. I want God's patience. The kind of patience, you know, I remember reading the Word of God when I was young in the Lord, and I couldn't get enough of it. I'm just reading stuff all over the place, but one thing I remember reading was how many times the Israelites let God down. He'd just do these wonderful things for them. I don't know about you, but it just jumps out at me, and it was actually starting to grieve my spirit at times. I remember that, thinking, oh man, he just lifted up the waters right up beside you and cleared a path for you, and then you got on the other side and you're complaining. You know, this, God's got patience. He's slow to anger, But you know what? The fruits of the Spirit will be put in us, and we'll put them out so that we can have this patience in our life for things. You know, I got to admit, before I came over here, I grabbed a coffee. I haven't had one. I had one earlier, but I have to have another one because I'm an addict, and I get a headache if I don't. So I got in the drive-through, and there's like three or four people ahead of me. Oh, this is not too bad, I thought to myself. I can get this coffee quick and get over to the church. And, it started taking forever. And I started losing my patience. And just before I got up to the window, I started laughing. I thought, if they only knew what I was going to preach on. I ran out of patience. I came this close to honking my horn. Don't tell me you haven't done that, right? Or wanted to do that. But anyways, slow to anger. And this comes out for others too, right? For the people around us. This is something we need for ourselves first. And then we can put that out. And then we can be slow to anger with people. You know, you get... I got to say, I lose my patience, but I know God is working on me, and I'm much better than I used to be, you know, especially when it comes to my business and working with somebody, and I'm focused, and I want this thing to go a certain way, and I lose patience with people. But God is working on that thing, thank God. I'm getting too old, too, because I might get beat up, so I got to be careful. The next one is gentleness. I don't know how much time we got here, but I'm just about done.
Keep going.
Okay. Gentleness. Again, there's so much involved in this. Just to try to put it in a nutshell, is we need to be gentle and kind with others, don't we? And we need God to put that in us. We need God's gentleness and kindness. The kind of kindness and that took him to the cross for us. How much more kindness is that? There is no greater kindness than Christ going to the cross. That's the kind of kindness we need to put out to other people. And it's available. That's a fruit that's going to grow on our branches. You know, how do you say it? The branches, and he's divine, right? You didn't get that, did you? We're the branches, but it's true. We need that, anyways. We need to be kind with others at all times, and if we're not, we need to repent and do something about it. And ask God for help with it. I believe that with all my heart. Goodness. You know, where goodness comes from in our lives, to put goodness out? That comes from God. God's goodness. He's a good God. I know proper English, but there's no thing gooder than God. So we need God's goodness in our lives, you know. And the one thing I wrote down here, you know, that I all of a sudden realized, and that we can't be good. We can't. It's only through God that we can be good. We, you know, he told us to come the way we were. So how much different is that now? We need to have God, or spend time with God, have God to do something in our heart for that, for goodness, so that we can put it out to others. Right? Stop trying to be good Let God do it in you. Spend time with him. Faith. Faith is the victory. Amen? Faith is the victory. This, again, I feel so small not to be able to share more about what God was showing me about faith, but this kind of faith, it is from God. It has to be from God. You know, faith that makes you, one of the fruits on the King James side, it says faith. The New King James says faithfulness. And that's interesting, because you could take that two different ways. Because I'll tell you, the more you follow God and the more you experience his working, the more faith you're going to have. Amen? The more you spend time with him, the more you read your word. How many know that scripture, faith comes from reading the word? Right? But I'll tell you, it makes you faithful too. So it's kind of connected, isn't it? It does something for us. It's something that the Holy Ghost wants to bear fruit through us. We can bear that fruit. The last one is self-control. And you know, it almost seems funny to be stuck in there. I don't know about you, but I'm reading that and I'm thinking, self-control. Oh, how we need self-control, don't we? When I read that about, I won't read it again, but how this is the works of the flesh, and it lists all those things. Things we're being drawn to. And I know God changes us and does things in us that we just don't want any part of those things. But there is some things that draw us that way. And we need that self-control. We need God's self-control. And the only way we're going to get it, like I said, is spend time with him. Trust in him. Let the Holy Spirit work in us. Let him guide us. Let him keep us. And then we'll experience self-control. You know, I don't know about you, but like I said earlier, it's less and less these days. And I believe a lot of it's from trouble in my life. It's not fun to have trouble. It's not fun to have heartache and all those things, but I believe with all my heart, and God's shown me that he does something for us through it. And out of it comes things like self-control. I think it was Paul said something about, I do the things I don't want to do. But you know, the more God works on us, the more we want to do the things God wants us to do. Amen? Amen. Oh, how we need the Holy Ghost. We do. And I want to encourage everybody here tonight. Maybe, like I said, I'm preaching to the choir. Search the scriptures, folks. God will give you something wonderful. Especially when he puts it on your heart, things like this. I encourage you to do a study on the Holy Spirit. I don't mean to take anybody's, but you can take somebody's book and go through it. But I mean for yourself. Get down on your knees and pray and ask God for guidance and get him to set that thing in your heart. Get him to open your eyes to the things of the Holy Ghost. And we'll find ourselves, we'll find it exciting, for lack of better words. And I know that's what God has done for me at times. You know, I'm not excited and happy and joyful all the time. How many here are? Look at that. Two people. Praise the Lord. I want to hang out with you guys. But you know what? God is working on me. He's doing it more and more and more. And like I said, maybe I'm preaching to the choir, but we need to be reminded of these things. And I want to encourage you. Maybe you're stuck in a hard place these days. And maybe this walk with God hasn't been so exciting. Well, you know what? Don't worry. There's going to be trouble coming in your life. You don't need to hear that, do you? God has a way of producing these things through trouble and trials and all these sorts of things. But, you know, I believe there's a big element that we don't have to have trouble all the time. We just need to get our eyes focused on God and realize He's everything. The God of the universe. You know, the God of the universe that created everything, created you, created me, I'll repeat it again, lives in me, lives in you. And that's exciting. So I want to encourage you with that. To seek Him with all your heart and let Him show you these things and pray and read your word and keep focused on these things of God. And then you'll bear fruit worthy of repentance. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for putting up with me.